Welcome to Warden's Watch Wild, where we talk to wildlife professionals. Brought to you by the Village Gun Store, Whitefield, New Hampshire. I'm your host, Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and this is Warden's Watch Wild. We're back on Warden's Watch Wild with Alex A. Saran, like Saran Wrap. That's how I'm going to remember it from now on. but now we're going to be delve in a little more about moose, which is a huge topic. Everybody loves moose, whether you have them hanging in your house or you have a Merry Christmas or all these moose. But I will say I've always found that everybody loves moose, and I'm certainly one of those guys. And Alex A. has done some research, is doing some research on moose. I think it's cutting edge, and it's exciting. And boy, to share it to our Warden's Watch Wild listeners is pretty awesome, Alex A. So thanks again for joining us and talking about moose and what you're up to.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, Wayne. Yeah. I before I move on here, I just realized that I never gave credit to the folks that I worked with before. So I was doing work with Martin through my master's with University of New Hampshire and Pete Pekins, who's retired now. And then I did with a lot of the snowshoe hare work was with the University of Massachusetts and the Northeast Climate Adaptation Science Center with Dr. Toni Lynn Morelli. So I did my dissertation with her. And so what I spoke on before was all with those folks. And what I'm doing now with moose is with the Vermont Co-op Unit and a collaborative regional project with the Vermont Co-op Unit, USGS Co-op Unit, and the Massachusetts Co-op Research Unit, along with University of Massachusetts, University of Vermont. And we're also teamed with a lot of the state agencies in the region and the federal agencies in the region, and also working with SUNY ESF and Syracuse. And it's just a really great project. And I'm just one person in that project trying to figure out how can we monitor moose moving forward and monitor ticks as well to better understand, any type of management options that we have to be able to kind of control and mitigate some of the losses the populations have experienced as a result of the winter tick winter ticks that are causing die-offs of moose in the region.
Yeah, I think we're going to delve in on another Warden's Watch Wild on ticks. So we will.
Okay, I'll stay away from them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always a good idea, but we could definitely need to talk about the ticks and how they're affecting the moose and everything, because it is certainly substantial. So
yes, very much. And really seeing is believing. I had winters out there in between my master's and my PhD work, and I was doing tech work for Pete Pekins, Dr. Pekins. And monitoring these animals for winter and seeing that the only thing they were dying from was winter ticks, to me, was really it was all the proof that I needed. It was really incredible and pretty devastating. So I won't say anything more about that because you're going to have conversations with other folks about it. But it's why I guess I am so excited to be doing this moose research. To being able to kind of, from the ecologist in me, is really interested in that relationship and understanding it more, and being able to kind of use different ecological theories to be able to figure out how to manage them moving forward. So I'm really excited to talk about moose and let's do it.
Yeah. So what is the project and how are you trying to accomplish? And can you just fill us in?
Absolutely. So in my previous work, for my dissertation work at University of Massachusetts, we developed a camera network across Vermont and New Hampshire. We were using cameras to monitor both climate. We were monitoring snowpack and also monitoring wildlife. The focus then was a lot on carnivores, but in the course of collecting data from 260 cameras spread across both states and all through the mountains, we had the most data collected on moose. We had over 60,000 pictures of moose detected on those cameras. And we were able to do a lot with that data, to be able to monitor number of calves that were born each year and factors that are influencing cows with calves and moose distribute, what influences moose distribution in the region. So we figured that this is a good monitoring tool that we can use for monitoring moose. And so what we've done now is we've expanded that existing camera network to include Maine and also to include Massachusetts and to include the Adirondacks as well in New York. And so we've expanded to three extra states. So we're covering five of the northeastern states where we're monitoring moose and involving the state agencies and all these different and the federal agencies within these different states to be able to figure out how to monitor moose. With the intent that we're also going to be including other data that we're collecting along the way. So we're going to be collecting scat and urine data from, and so the scat and moose urine data that we collect will help us predict survival and also reproduction. So we can use that data to be able to get that type of data that you can't always get from cameras. You may get a picture of a moose, but you know whether or not that moose is going to survive or how many animals is going to, you know, how it's going to contribute to the population. Mm-hmm. But collecting urine, you're able to get information on whether or not that animal is going to survive through the winter if you're collecting it during the winter. You can also collect the data from the scat and be able to get genetic information and also information on reproduction to be able to get, you know, indices of reproduction and survival. And so combined, you can use all that. We're also collecting data on ticks. And so we're going to be doing, we have the focus of the people that are working out of UMass are going to be able to figure out how do we monitor ticks in a really efficient, cost-effective way, and to do that across the region. Because there seems to be a very similar relationship, a similar dynamic with snowshoe hares, that if their density is actually lower, that they're going to, that will help them escape the problems associated with high winter tick, with winter tick epizootics, where winter ticks are so, where winter ticks can influence your productivity and survival of calves and your twinning rates. So that's what we're doing, is putting a regional monitoring together, network together, to be able to track moose populations over time. You can use the camera data, the data we get from scat and urine data, and then the tick data to be able to create what's called an integrated population model. So we can figure out what populations are doing in northern Maine, what's going on with populations in southern New Hampshire and northeastern Vermont. So it's a way for us to work together and have standardized protocols. So the big heavy lift of all this is there's just so much data coming in, figuring out really effective ways to manage that data and to be able to analyze it quickly and have it come back out to the managers to say, hey, this is what's going on based on the data that we're collecting. And so the folks at UVM, specifically my supervisor, Dr. Terry Donovan, and another postdoc, I'm actually at the University of Vermont now through the Vermont Co-op unit, and I'm a postdoc researcher. And the other postdoc researcher at University of Vermont is a computer scientist. He's also an ecologist as well. And both Terry and Larry Klarfeld, are just incredible data scientists and what they're able to do with creating a platform and a way for us to be able to integrate all these data together to be able to monitor moose. So that's a huge part of it. And so they're also working with artificial intelligence, or what Larry calls computer vision, to be able to get all of our camera data that comes in and have a computer algorithms tag the data that comes in on the picture. So if it's a moose, it'll guess that it's a moose. So he's working on developing algorithms to automatically do that, because that's, with a lot of camera data work, that's a lot of the work, is actually tagging all those individual photographs, and you get millions of them. And so that's, you know, being able to increase the efficiency of that is really, really important. So there's a lot of different working parts, and we're really working together with a lot of different agencies and institutions and volunteers to be able to figure out a way to monitor moose moving forward in the face of a changing climate, and also different changes in land use. And, you know, certain areas are going to be logged more extensively and certain areas won't be. And so those are two situations where you have a different landowner who wants to create a conservation easement where areas aren't going to be managed as much. That'll have certain impacts on moose. And then you have certain landowners that are going to be doing maybe more intensive management, and that'll have certain impacts on moose as well. So it's not just that the climate's changing, but how we manage the land is changes as well. There's a moving window there. So it's really, it requires a lot of regional effort to a strong regional and unified effort to be able to figure out how to monitor this iconic species moving forward.
Yeah, it sounds like that data is a different animal for sure. Not to play on words, but man, that's overwhelming, and for people to understand that, to managing it. I remember Jason Philippi telling me the hardest part about podcasting was to manage all your recordings, and he is absolutely right. It gets away from you, and just trying to find what you're looking for when you need it and things like that. So, yes, I can't even imagine. And I remember just in what you did with your master's, you going through every picture to identify every picture taken to identify it. And then, yeah, that's crazy. With the urine and the scat samples there, is that going to do individual information or is that just general information?
That does individual information. So Pete Pekin and his graduate students, including Henry Jones, is the moose biologist for UNH. And then the folks at University of Vermont have worked in tandem on efforts to be able to develop this method. And so they are following individual moose. You're going out in the field, you're following a protocol where you go and you search for moose 24 to 72 hours after a snowfall, and you have to have snow on the ground, and you go and you backtrack a cow and a calf, and you differentiate between the cow and the calf, and you follow that calf till you can actually find an area where it pees and then you collect the snow urine from that and put it in a bag, and it's analyzed in a lab. And there's certain ratios of urea nitrogen and creatinine. And if they're high or above a threshold of like 3.5, which is the magic number during March, that really kind of is linked to winter ticks taking their blood meal. And what it's showing is that it's really creating stress on that animal. And as far as their nutrition is concerned, and ratios above 3.5 during March are highly predictive of death, of mortality. And so if you're a calf and we find a urine sample from you during March and it's above that, pretty much means you're going to die. You're not going to make it. So this is a real strong physiological link to nutritional restriction. And that's what the urine method affords. It information on nutritional condition, but also survival. So that's great. And so then a lot of the other work with scat is being able to collect data on stress hormones. And so the researchers at University of Vermont have found a strong link to collecting the scat and measuring the stress hormones in the scat to as a predictor of survival. And so, so that's how so it's individual animals that you're getting that information from. But of course, if we collected my urine and I'm the only animal you collected on, you can't say anything about the population, right?
No.
So you'd have to go and sample an entire area, and you'd have to have a high enough sample size to be able to collect enough data from a certain amount of moose. And what we found is that you typically need more than 40 samples per, like if Northern New Hampshire, if you wanted to get a population estimate on survival rates from urine, then you'd have to collect 40 or more samples for that area to have an accurate estimate of moose survival for that region.
Wow, so that's labor intensive in itself to find 40 samples within that snow time.
It is. So we did that last year, and Maine participated in it as well. And we just had deteriorating conditions, and we've all seen this. You know, last year spring came really early, so we were trying to collect this in March. It was challenging because we didn't get the snow, and then it was warm, and so the snow was melting quick. So it was a real challenge. That's the other thing. Some of these techniques are also influenced by climate change as well, to have an impact. And that's why a lot of these countries have switched to cameras. Like Scandinavia switched to cameras. They used to always do snow track surveys, and they do them on skis, especially for their lynx surveys, but they don't get those conditions that they used to. And so they've had to resort to cameras as being their method for monitoring these wildlife species, because they're not dependent on snow. So yeah, so we'll see. That's what we're trying to actually work on now, is how can, when should we sample using scat and urine, and how many samples do we need for combining both of those methods as well.
Nice. No, thanks for updating us what's going on. And people always want to know what's going on with the moose population. What are we doing to find out what's going on? And certainly that answers a lot of our questions, Alex. I really appreciate you talking at Warden's Watch Wild about moose and the research that's ongoing. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, Wayne. Take care. Have a good one.
Welcome to Warden's Watch Wild, where we talk to wildlife professionals. Brought to you by the Village Gun Store, Whitefield, New Hampshire. I'm your host, Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and this is Warden's Watch Wild.